This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebon Udama. In a small Connecticut town, a child sex assault case raises public concern about the lack of state oversight of town-owned children's camps.
The idea of full licensure has been really opposed almost, you know, universally by these municipalities because of that sense that if this did happen, it would simply become too expensive to run a lot of these programs for these towns.
That's the Connecticut Mirror's Human Services reporter, Laura Tillman. She's written about a push for state regulation of children's camps run by towns following a child sex assault case at a camp in Bethany. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garon. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Laura. You've decided to dig into the issue of unregulated town camps for children following the Anthony Mastrangelo case in Bethany. Could you set the stage for us? We know that Bethany, like most small towns in Connecticut, has never been subject to state oversight for its town-run camps.
I initially learned about this case through reading some news articles that came out about accusations against Anthony Mastrangelo. There are allegations that there were sexual assaults and illegal sexual contact with children that occurred during Parks and Rec programming in Bethany, where he was a camp counselor and he also worked in that community as a substitute teacher in the school there. So initially, I was interested because there was a lot of frustration about the town leadership and whether they had appropriately handled this situation. Also, the allegations, the first four victims made their allegations back in December of 2022, but the first arrest wasn't made until May of 2024. So there are also just some questions about
why it took a year and a half.
Took so long.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about First Select Woman Paula Cofrancesco and her relationship with
the accused. Yeah. So Paula Cofrancesco, she's the town First Select Woman. She has been in many, many town meetings since this happened, defending her role. There's a lot of anger in Bethany at her and people demanding that she step down. Part of that comes from the fact that she says that she was aware that there were some allegations against the accused that had resulted in him being removed from working with children, but that she was not aware that those allegations were of a sexual nature. About a year and a half after the first four allegations were made and documented by police, there was another incident in which another alleged incident in which a child in that community says that she was also abused while he was babysitting her. And so the frustration in the town comes in part of this perception that the town First Select Woman could have in some way done more to let the community know that there was something concerning going on. They believe, a lot of people in town, I should say, believe that she was aware that these allegations against him were of a sexual nature. And part of that is because she's friends with his mom. There are photographs of those families wearing the same t-shirt while on a vacation together, you know, well after these initial allegations had come forward. She is also relatives with the two people who were running Parks and Rec at the time. So there are just a lot of ways in which she's sort of like deeply connected to the different parties involved. And I think that people in town are skeptical of the idea that she didn't know what those allegations were.
there are a lot of people who are talking about maybe it's time for the state to step in as far as regulating these camps. You spoke with Beth Bai, who's with the Office of Early Childhood. What did she have to say about this?
It was interesting because, you know, when I started looking into the story, I wasn't aware of this backstory about the push and pull about regulation of municipal camps, that there have been people in the legislature who've been advocating for some steps toward regulation of different varieties. There was a move a couple of years ago to try to actually license these camps, which failed. And, you know, if you look at the statements about that proposed bill, they're overwhelmingly in opposition. They're from mostly municipalities throughout the state, parks departments or town managers who say why this is problematic, the idea of licensure. You know, licensure involves health and safety checks. It involves different regulations around the ratios between children and counselors. It involves checks on qualifications of different kinds of counselors to do things like be a lifeguard or teach archery. It requires certain ratios of bathrooms to campers. There's a lot of things in there, some of which would be more expensive to implement than others. So the idea of full licensure has been really opposed almost, you know, universally by these municipalities because of that sense that if this did happen, it would simply become too expensive to run a lot of these programs for these towns, that it would be a lot of new paperwork and levels of bureaucracy, that there could be issues like, you know, the fact that a lot of the people who work in these programs tend to be teenagers who are maybe making their summer plans at the last minute or things like that, and having to comply with the state system of background checks, which could take a while to get the check back, then you're in a situation where you may not have enough counselors at the last moment. There are just a lot of kind of logistics that seem to be, you know, onerous and overwhelming. And I think that the commissioner has said that, you know, she is interested in pursuing some kind of middle road between full licensure and what we have now, which is really no state oversight. You know, if you go looking for the number of how many children each year enroll in municipal programs in Connecticut, no state agency seems to have that information because it is 169 different municipalities, you know, some of which may not have these programs at all, but they're all doing things different ways and they don't have to report that information to any state authority. They don't have to report major incidents like whether children who go to those camps are hospitalized. And there have been efforts over the years to make some, you know, baby steps toward that, to have some additional requirements or oversight or ability for people to report things to the Office of Early Childhood. And all of that has met quite a bit of resistance because it seems to be because of the perception that it's steps toward full licensure, which is something that they oppose. So I think that, you know, some of the folks that I spoke to for this story, their hope was kind of that the fact of this case and some of the concerns about a municipality being the authority that oversees one of these programs could at least lead to an opening in that conversation to talk about some of those more intermediate steps that might just add some layers of safety or state oversight without requiring full licensure, which would be much more expensive potentially.
So bottom line here, Laura, is that something is going to have to happen in the next legislative session because of this case in Bethany. Do you get the sense that there is enough of a push that there will be some action taken by the legislature next year on this?
I really don't know. It's a conversation that a lot of people want to have, but given the fact that in the past people have wanted to have this conversation and it hasn't seemed to have gone anywhere, I don't know, you know, with certainty if something will happen or not, but it does seem like this is a real sort of unfortunate example of some of those safety questions that arise when something like this happens and you just don't have that oversight and you don't have anyone watching. I mean, a lot of the questions that arose when I was reporting this story was like, did this lack of oversight really have anything to do with what is alleged to have happened in Bethany? Because, for example, if you have a program where a lot of the people working in that program are young, they may not have anything on their criminal record that shows up on a background check to indicate that there's any concern about hiring them in the first place. I think that one of the pieces of information I did find out that kind of pointed to the fact that, you know, lack of oversight is concerning is the fact that one of the counselors, one of the staff at these programs who worked there a long time, once the law was put into effect that people working in these programs 21 and over have to get mandated reporter training, he still never received that training. And so I do think that that's one of those examples of something where, you know, ensuring that everyone is getting the training that they should have. And there is also kind of a conversation about expanding mandated reporter training, maybe to include all staff at these programs or to include staff 18 and older, since so many people who work in these programs are young. And that is one of those steps that wouldn't, again, be expensive to put into place. It would just require some logistics. So I think that that is definitely something that's on the table, and there does seem to be a good number of people who are in support of that.
Well, thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.